The Tom Woods Show, episode 1887.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey folks, Tom Woods here. Even though most of my listeners are from the United States, I have people in more countries than you can imagine listening to this program. And I have plenty of Canadians who listen. But this episode will be, of course, of interest to far more than just people who live in Canada, because we are all in this together, in the sense of those of us who suffer under these ludicrous anti-science restrictions, we are in it together, those of us who suffer. And I want to get a report from Canada on what's been going on, because we just hear these horror shows. But at the same time, we do see quite a few videos, don't we, coming out of Canada, indicating resistance by this individual or that entity. So I wanted to get a clearer picture on what's happening. And joining us to talk about it is Canada's own Adam Schneider, who is not only a great libertarian, but he is also an expert on print-on-demand style e-commerce and has his own podcast on that, the Sales on Demand Show, which you can follow at salesondemandshow.com. And he's a real expert on that kind of stuff. And that's probably one of the things that's been keeping him sane, that he can work peacefully in his house while madness is reigning outside. So, Adam, welcome.
Hey, Tom. Thank you so much for having me on.
I probably should have talked about Canada before now, but better late than never, just because of how crazy the stuff is. I can't believe some of these things are still happening there. I mean, in the U.S., almost everybody now, all the respectable people, are now saying, obviously way too late, that it's stupid and pointless to wear masks outside and stuff like that. And in Florida, I'm hearing one school district after another is saying that masks will be optional in the fall. And masks will be optional means nobody's going to wear them. And then meanwhile, I look at what's going on over there. What part of Canada are you in?
Well, I live in Alberta, which is kind of a western province.
Okay, so tell me a little bit about your own personal story, because I know you, well, you know, from the libertarian world, but also from print on demand and your work in that area. So I did not know what you did for a living when all this started. So talk to us about that.
Yes. I don't talk about what I used to do because obviously, you know, my prior profession was a little bit at odds with libertarianism, but I retired as a law enforcement officer just at the end of 2020. And what prompted me to do this really was COVID, because I felt pretty comfortable being in law enforcement and knowing that I was treating people with as much liberty and liberty-mindedness as I possibly could. But I really cared about protecting people's rights and property. That was really my motivation. But at the beginning of 2020, when the lockdown happened, of course, you know, the entire country went into this massive lockdown. The government started to pull out all of its cards to see how they could enforce this. And one of their little cards was they could deputize peace officers like myself to go and, you know, basically enforce the health orders, is what they called them at the time. So I was not super keen about this, but we didn't know much about the virus. And I thought, well, okay, maybe this won't last very long. I mean, we all thought back then, foolishly, that this would just be 2 weeks, you know, sit on the couch for 2 weeks and everything's good. We're back to normal life. And it kind of did work out that we were back to something normal over the summer. And the government kind of let up on some of the lockdowns. And then they took the authorities away from us. Not that we really did much in the beginning, but I started to see that my profession was just not where I wanted to be, because I knew that if they really wanted me to enforce these rules, they could basically tell me that you've got to do this or you're going to get fired and kind of need money to live. So I began to really seriously plan, you know, what's my exit strategy? Do I really want to do this? And by the, you know, the middle of summer, I got someone who offered me a position coaching, doing what I love the most, the side hustle that I have, print on demand. And I just said, yes. It took me about 3.5 seconds. And I left it in October, never looked back. And now I'm doing this full time and I could not be happier seeing what's happened with law enforcement and how the police have been used as basically a hammer against anybody who even dares to protest, especially in Ontario and Quebec. I just am not, I could not be happier that I left that profession because I don't want to be used that way.
Yeah, no kidding, no kidding. And I appreciate you coaching my mom on print on demand. I mean, she's pretty knowledgeable, but I don't know how you became the insane expert you are now. We'll plug your podcast at the end because people should listen to you and learn about it because we all, you know, there are a lot of people, not just law enforcement, who could very easily find themselves confronting serious moral dilemmas when it comes to their occupations. And, you know, they got a plan for that. So, all right, what is it about Canada that makes it not uniquely poised for this kind of thing, but there are vulnerabilities, let's say, in Canadian government and society? For example, the so-called Charter of Rights. That sounds good. What's the problem?
Right. So the Charter is actually a fairly recent invention, and it was brought in by Pierre Trudeau, which is the father of our current Prime Minister, Justin Trudeau. And it was basically meant to be sort of a constitutional bill of rights that Canadians would have that sort of mirrored the United States Bill of Rights, except there's one huge flaw. And I guess I call this a flaw, but in reality, the Bill of Rights in the U.S. has similar flaws that make it too weak to really fight for rights. I mean, they're both just pieces of paper in the end, but we have Section 1 of the Charter, which has a reasonable limits clause. So basically, if the government thinks that there's a reasonable cause to deny anybody their rights, they just do it. And I've had lots of debates with people about this. Problem is that none of this has been tested in court. And that is supposed to be what happens, is that the government says, okay, there's an emergency. We need to suspend some people's rights. I can see that there might be some reason for that. If there's a flood or a fire and you're sitting in your house, they might say, hey, you need to leave your house. You're going to die. So there is some reasonable limits to some rights, but they're not supposed to be just, well, we declare this an emergency that lasts a year long. We're never going to test this in court. And that's the way it is. So that it's a huge flaw. And it basically renders the Charter completely useless for protecting rights.
Well, then meanwhile, you have Canadian healthcare, which is praised to the skies here in the United States. That's all I can tell you. It's all over the place how much people want us to imitate the Canadian system. And you say that the excuse for the lockdowns, and I'm sure you're right, was to protect the hospital, same way in the U.S., protect the Canadian system. So what was then done? Now, I ask this rhetorically because I always wanted to know in the U.S., what's being done while these lockdowns are in place to expand hospital capacity? Now, in some cases, I did get actual physicians saying, well, here are the things we actually did do. We actually did take some practical measures during that time that made it easier for us to cope once we resumed. Was that the case in Canada? Did they actually do anything while you were locked down?
Well, after the very first lockdown, which ended in, you know, June, July of 2020, I honestly think the government just basically said, okay, well, we're good. We don't need to do anything. Canada, of course, has government-run healthcare, like you said. So the government is in charge of the entire system. There is no private industry except for just a few. You know, if you want to get an MRI, you can pay for that yourself. And if you don't want to pay for it, there's something like a 2-year waiting period to get an MRI, which is insane. So obviously we can see there's huge problems because of this, the scarcity, and the government is just terrible at running it. But that was their original excuse, is that we're going to protect the hospital system. Then when we went back into lockdown in December, the excuse was, oh, we've got more cases, more hospitalizations. But there was no evidence that they'd ever made any attempt to increase the amount of beds available. Instead, their new justification was, we can't have anybody in the hospital at all. We're not going to increase the capacity. We're just going to try and, you know, mitigate the people in the hospital. So additionally, Canada has no ability to produce vaccinations, which has been a huge problem. So we have to buy vaccines from whoever will sell them. And I honestly think that they're, you know, the Canadians are we're looking for vaccines from countries like India, and we're borrowing them from the United States. We had contracts with vaccines companies where they were supposed to deliver vaccines, and we were paying double the going rate for those. So we were paying something like $8 per shot, and we've had less than half of them delivered that were promised to us. So we're sitting here with about a quarter of the number of vaccines delivered versus the United States, which is basically offered a vaccine to every single person who wants it at this point. So all of that has just been an awful, terrible failure of government to manage the public healthcare system. I mean, it's just a stunning indictment of publicly run healthcare.
Now, I'd like to say what I can't get over is that so-called conservative leadership, places that have that, have had the strictest lockdowns. But yet, somehow, I can't say I'm completely surprised by this, because I know how these people are. It never, ever dawns on them to actually resist anything. They're just going to go along. They're the biggest cowards in the world.
Yeah, that's true. So Alberta is, I want to call it the Texas of Canada. We have a very, you know, down home kind of rebellious spirit here in Canada. And I'll tell you, in Alberta, I'll tell you more about that. I'm sure you've seen videos. Everybody's seen videos from Alberta. Chances are, if you've seen a video of people resisting government agents in their restaurant or their gym or at their church particularly, there's a 90% chance that that video has come from Alberta. But our premier, we don't have states, we have provinces, of course, and the governor would be a premier. They have been the worst on all of this. They have basically parroted all of the talking points of the opposition parties. We do have opposition parties that we call basically the New Democratic Party. So the joke is that whatever the opposition says that they want, 1 week later, that's the policy. So they have provided zero resistance to these lockdowns. And then they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar because some of the members of the Legislative Assembly left the country over Christmas when they weren't supposed to. So they have been guilty of the same kind of hypocrisy that, you know, the politicians in California and New York. I mean, there's no surprise about this. We all know that these people are just giving lip service to all of this stuff, and they don't really believe it, but they have to give the lip service or they're going to get flack from the people that whose opinion they care about for some reason. Now, here in Alberta, it hasn't been quite as bad as it is on Ontario. Ontario is under one of the strictest lockdowns I think I've ever seen. You go to Walmart, you can't even buy baby clothes. You can't buy anything. You can maybe buy some groceries, I guess, because the government can't let you starve to death. But they have less than half the number of cases per capita that Alberta does. Same with Quebec. The police have been authorized to go around and basically harass anybody who's walking around. And they do. They're not just doing it because they're told to. Some of these officers in Quebec are just gleefully patrolling around, giving tickets to just families walking around. There's videos all over the internet of the crazy stay-at-home orders and the way that they're enforcing them. People are being thrown to the ground. They're arresting. We have some people called the Rebel. It's basically a news channel, but they're not really on TV. Yeah. So Ezra Levant.
Right. And in fact, I'm trying to look at it online because I could have sworn I knew the URL for it. But yeah, no, I guess I was wrong. Okay, go ahead.
I believe it's rebelnews.com. So Ezra Levant is basically the only media company that is resisting this. And they've been arrested, like the government has been harassing them. It's kind of a crazy story there. I mean, I can't get into all of it because it's a long story. But of course, the government has been coming to churches. They barricaded a church in Alberta. They had a very famous confrontation with a pastor who they're trying to walk into his house church, and he told them to get out under no uncertain terms. And actually, that pastor is an old friend of mine, so I was interested to see that his video made it around the world. And he's been, you know, basically making the podcast tours. He'd be a great guest for your show if you could get him on. Artur Pavlovsky is his name. But Alberta itself has been in some form of lockdown for 133 days. Originally, they said that the restrictions would be removed just based on the number of hospitalizations. So, of course, I'm sitting there just watching the numbers fall and fall and fall. And I'm like, okay, so when are we going to let out of this? Because I'd like to get back to the gym so I can stay healthy. People who are healthy have a much, much reduced chance of death by COVID. I mean, we know this already. So going to the gym is kind of important to me. But we hit the metrics and nothing happened. We hit the better metrics and nothing happened. And they let us have a few crumbs. So they gave us a little bit of our freedom back for about 3 weeks. And then cases started going up again and they took it all back. And at that point, I went into one of the darkest depressions that I've ever been in, even in the last 12 months, which is saying something, because it's been a very rough 12 months for all of us here. And I've just, it's been very difficult to maintain any kind of positivity. Although I think I'm starting to come around on this, because I cannot allow these people to destroy me. If they do, then really they win.
Yeah, I mean, that is the way to think about it. You can't let them take all the joy out of your life. I mean, you got to do what you can. The problem, though, to me would be, yes, the state is making my life miserable, but what's almost equally making it miserable would be, especially in Canada, how many ordinary people think this is normal and good and to be cheered and that I'm the evil one. I mean, how do you deal with that?
That's true. And there are people online who wanted the, well, there was a pastor that was running his church at normal, you know, fire code capacity, which in any other year wouldn't have made news in even the local news. I mean, oh, a pastor's doing a normal thing with his church, but there are people calling for this pastor to basically be thrown to the lions. And obviously that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but they're, you know, people are like, oh, well, the door's shut, you know, throw them in prison for life. And I just cannot believe that people are getting this maniacal about something. There hasn't been a single case of COVID from that particular church, you know, other than one case before the lockdowns came in. And yet they still believe that these churches that are running are going to kill everybody in sight. So the mania from the ordinary population has been driving a lot of these restrictions, except for one fact, is that more people are opposed, in Alberta at least, more people are opposed to the lockdown than people who support the lockdown. So that is at least a good sign. 48% of people are opposed to the lockdown, and there now are people banding together in Alberta and in Ontario who are actually organizing against these lockdowns and the tremendous damage that they're causing. So I think this is a good moment for Alberta and Canada in general. The problem is that we don't have anybody leading the fight who is really a libertarian. We do have politicians who are pretty good on the issue. We have someone who's almost like a Donald Trump figure, except he's French. And it's kind of a bizarre, his name is Maxime Bernier, and he's got as much boldness as Donald Trump, but he's French. So he's an interesting fellow, but he's the leader of a party called the People's Party of Canada.
And that's a very recently created party, isn't it?
It's fairly recently created, yeah. And I can't say that I love the name. It sounds too much like the, you know, the People's Party of China or something like that.
Yeah, People's always sounds commie to me at this point.
It does, but he's been a very outspoken figure. He came to Alberta and visited Art Pavlovsky, who was the one who kicked the police out of his church, and he's basically been kind of leading the political charge against these lockdowns. So he's a good follow on Twitter if you're looking for Canadians who are good against the lockdowns. We also have, I mean, we have a Libertarian Party in Canada, which I knew that there was a Libertarian Party here in Canada, but you just never hear about it. You never see it. There's no candidates for that party out in Alberta. It's always been dominated by the Conservatives, who are represented by the color blue here in Canada, which is kind of the opposite in the US. But Alberta's been very blue, and I think the tide is turning. And I need the Libertarian Party. We need the Libertarian Party to start stepping up and spreading, you know, putting candidates out here and spreading actual liberty, because there are people who are open to that, more open than they've ever been. I mean, people are red-pilled against government control more than I've ever seen here. People hate the premier in Alberta. They're calling for his resignment. They're calling for his head. They're vowing that they're never going to vote conservative again. So this is a moment where people are seeing that even conservative governments, so-called conservative governments, they're just not supporting their rights. And I'm hoping that the Libertarian Party of Canada is going to take advantage of this. And I'm going to be posting in, of course, the Libertarian Party Mises Caucus. And I'd like to find some way to bring Canadian libertarians together so that we can actually make some organized defense of this, because it's not over yet. Even when the lockdowns get let up, we know that it's not over. They're actually putting laws in place so that when this, and I say when, because we know this, that they're going to try this again. This is not a one-time and done thing. We know that the next time there's some kind of really bad flu or something, they're going to try this again. And we need to be able to resist that in an organized way. So still thinking about how that's going to work. I mean, I'm pretty busy as you are. So I don't know if I could ever be a Michael Heiss or do anything like that in Canada. But if we could just start organizing here in Canada, that would be a start.
Hey, folks, I want to take a quick minute to thank our sponsor and talk to you about cryptocurrency. If you've been wanting to invest in cryptocurrency but don't know where to start, or you found it difficult to sift through the mountains of information out there to find the good stuff, or you've been watching the price shoot up and you think, I've missed the boat. Well, according to my good friend and repeat Tom Woods Show guest, John Bush, if you think you've missed the boat, well, he's got good news for you. The sales aren't even set and there's still time to get involved. To help you get started, he's put together an online course called Demystifying Crypto, How to Buy, Hold, spelled the crazy way, of course, and Multiply Your Cryptocurrency. So check it out at cryptoandprivacy.com. This two-day interactive course will help you gain the knowledge necessary to safely buy and securely hold your cryptocurrency. We've all heard horror stories of the poor sap who can't find his password and loses access to millions worth of Bitcoin. Don't be that guy. And to round it all out, they're offering a bonus section on internet privacy. So if you're tired of big tech snooping around your digital life like a nosy parent, the workshop will teach you browsing habits to hide your digital footprint and how to send and receive encrypted messages that even Big Brother can't read. So you don't want to miss this informative and interactive virtual workshop John and his team are hosting. And get this, John is guaranteeing that if you take the workshop, you will go from crypto curious to crypto confident in one weekend, or they'll give you your money back, no questions asked. So to learn more or reserve your ticket today, go to cryptoandprivacy.com. That's cryptoandprivacy.com. The head of the Libertarian Party of Canada, I think, is still Tim Moen, and he's a good guy, and he's very sound in all this. So, you know, one hopes that something good can come of this. I wonder, I mean, this whole People's Party thing, the natural question is, when you're so unbelievably outnumbered in a country like Canada, why not just build on the Libertarian Party? You know, move it in your direction rather than start a whole new thing from the ground up. I don't know enough of the internal issues at stake here as to why that would have been done.
Yeah, that's a good point. The difficulty is, I don't think a lot of Canadians really know what libertarianism is. I tell people, oh, I'm a libertarian, and they think that I'm just some kind of quirky hippie or something like that. It doesn't have the same, you know, common parlance as it does in the United States, and I think we need to work on changing that. So I know Tim Moen's been on your show, and I think he's a pretty good libertarian, so we don't have the issue of fighting against our own party here, but the party is, it just seems like it's pretty small. So I guess I'd have to reach out to Tim Moen and see, hey, what can we do in Canada? I'm willing to work here in Alberta and do what I can from my end.
Well, so now they've gone from saying hospitalizations are the metric to now vaccinations are the metric.
Yeah, that's right.
What are the prospects of a return to normality there? Because we are hearing a lot of talk about that in the U.S. from a lot of sources, more than I would have expected. That things are likely to be back to normal, and there are a lot of concert tours scheduled for this summer and fall. And as I told Jay Bhattacharya, I don't think they're all going to be canceled. I think most of them are going to continue.
Yeah, I agree. And Alberta briefly toyed with the idea of making our reopening dependent on vaccinations. But I think that they got such vicious feedback on that.
Oh, yeah.
Albertans have been raging against all of this, which is a good and a bad thing. I mean, I don't have any opposition to vaccinations. I see the data telling me that they work. But you can understand why people would be skeptical when they're basically holding us hostage, where it's like, okay, take the shot or you don't get your life back. I can understand why people would resist that to the point of basically wanting to go and burn down the legislature. I'm not joking about the extent of people's anger on this.
Well, meanwhile, let's say a couple words about what you do at home, because it, as you say, it's given you some joy and sense of purpose and accomplishment over the past, well, during this entire ordeal, really. Say a little something about that and your podcast.
Sure. Well, I have you to thank, Tom, for where I am right now, because if I didn't have libertarian voices in my ear basically all day long, I think I would probably just go completely insane. And of course, I did start my podcast and my business from the products that you promote on your email list. And to the listeners, if you aren't on Tom's email list, I don't know what you're waiting for. Tom doesn't promote products that are junk. Everything that he promotes is good. And I'm a living example of somebody who's made his living based on some of the things that Tom is promoting. So get on that list and stay on it. But what I've been doing in the last 12 months is I'm trying to build my life in such a way that I don't rely on government permission to do anything. And it's difficult because there's a lot of things that I'd like to do that I don't have permission to do, and I can't build my own, you know, conference or something like that, or go to these big events or do running things. But I've got my own gym equipment now. I've been building a business that the government cannot take away from me. I've been building a life that nobody can lock down. And I have a podcast where I talk about building you can do a side hustle, you can do this full time, but build yourself an income stream that nobody can take away from you. You can't get fired from your own business. So I do have my podcast called The Sales on Demand Show. You can visit that URL and subscribe. Of course, I'm on iTunes, Stitcher, you know, Google, all of the major platforms for that. And I do talk about freedom a fair bit, but mostly I talk about how to build an unlockdownable income that nobody can take away from you and make yourself independent of government permission.
Well, it's what I'm telling people they ought to at least think about. At least, you know, lately I've been on a kick telling people to start a membership site. Why not? I mean, you might as well get out and I'll help you promote it. I mean, at least give it a try, because it gives you regular, sustainable, you know, it means you're not worried all the time. Because I like the membership aspect of what I do, because I know there's X number of people who are going to just stick with me year after year at Liberty Classroom, you know, and that means I don't just sell them one $3 item and then just, you know, beg and plead that they come back to my store and buy another $3 item 2 months from now. I mean, I couldn't live like that. That's just not in my DNA, I suppose. So I'll put a link to your podcast at tomwoods.com/1887. And I hope people will check it out. Because when the Mises Caucus of the Libertarian Party wanted to know about doing merch for their store, I just directed them to you. And yes, you helped them with that. And then I love how you killed two birds with one stone. You made an episode of your podcast on merchandise for nonprofits.
Exactly. And I actually built the store that the LPMC is using right now. So we've been working together pretty closely on that. It's going really well. The LPMC is doing what Canada should be doing. And if we could get a Mises Caucus here in Canada, it would be amazing.
All right. Well, no kidding. Completely agreed. Well, thank you, Adam, for the insight from Canada. I hope things look up soon. I hope they allow you to travel. It'd be great for you to be able to visit the States over the summer and just have fun like a normal person. So we'll see.
Well, I do have a standing invitation from your mother to come to your 2000th
episode. Oh, did she invite you to that?
Oh, she demanded that I come. Not that I wasn't planning to come anyway. if they're going to let us out, I'm coming straight down there to visit you guys in Florida. And I wouldn't miss it for the world.
Well, tremendous. It would be wonderful to have you there. Thanks again, Adam.
Thank you so much, Tom.
All right, folks, before we wrap up for today, one of my listeners has started his own cybersecurity consulting company called Asteros at asteros.io. That's Asteros.io. And he says, these days, organizations of all sizes are targets for cyber criminals, disgruntled employees, that's not impossible, or even nation-state attackers. And Asteros performs cybersecurity services and gives you expert guidance to help defend against threats and protect your data. They uncover hidden vulnerabilities, evaluate real-world risk, and deliver tailored guidance to help you quickly remediate security weaknesses. And for a limited time, Asteros is offering companies an attack surface audit completely free. So let Asteros discover potential entry points to your network and how susceptible your organization is to cyber attacks. To learn more and to take advantage of this essential offer, go to asteros.io/attack. So Asteros, again, is Asteros, asteros.io/attack. All right. So, folks, if you want publicity like this for a website you're thinking of creating, remember to check out tomwoods.com/publicity to get all the details. And I will see you all next week.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit tomwoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at podsworth.com.